When going to a sporting event these days, it's not enough to see the athletes competing with one another. Teams like to showcase their mascots, too, and they all rub commentator Frank DeFord the wrong way.
I was talking to my dear friend, the sports curmudgeon, the other day, and he told me, "Frank, if there's one thing that I am the most sick and tired of in sports on my Z list, bottom of the barrel, it is mascots. Can't we get rid of those cutesy-poo little things?" It got me to thinking. Unlike the sports curmudgeon, I don't think we should outlaw mascots. Boom, just like that. Maybe we should have a grandfather clause for them, like baseball did with spitball pitchers when it eliminated the spitball. We're having enough trouble with unemployment in this country. There's so many silly sports mascots now that if we put them all on the street at once, it would be a terrible blow to the economy. But definitely, we are overrun with mascots. Even teams that have names that don't have anything to do with mascots can't stop themselves. It's like you're not a genuine team anymore if you don't have a mascot. Hey, excuse me, but the Utah Jazz have a bear, and the Alabama Crimson have an elephant, and the Detroit Pistons have a horse. Certainly, we have to make rules. If your team is the Pistons, then you have to have a mascot that honors the name. Detroit should have somebody dressed up like a piston. You could have one made up for you, you know. Mascots are a real cottage industry. You can order mascot costumes, choosing from such groups as bears, bugs, bunnies, food, reptiles, and mice. Stanford has a tree. I don't want to know why, but it does. There are also mascot teachers now. You can go to mascot school to learn how to be a mascot. The trouble is, no matter what the outfit, all mascots have started to look and act the same. Now, the San Diego Chicken was a wise guy, which I liked. But since him, mascots have grown entirely too adorable. Even the Ohio State Buckeye, which is a guy with a nut for a head. If I had a team, I would like a mean mascot. Of course, the ugliest mascot, bar none, has always been the Philadelphia Philly Fanatic, who is green with a snout. The Whatsit, who all by himself started the Atlanta Olympics off on the wrong foot, was extremely homely and without charm, but still, the Philly Fanatic is the worst. Tommy Lasorda, the old Dodgers manager, got into a dust-up with the Philly Fanatic once. I guess the Fanatic won. Anyway, he outlasted Lasorda. Somebody stole the Philly Fanatic's head recently, but unfortunately, it was recovered. Nonetheless, I think the tide of public opinion is turning against mascots. An angry 240-pound fan attacked the Orlando Magic Dragon not long ago, and this was when Orlando was winning the game. Also, you can find a list of dead mascots on the Internet. Really, you can. But where are the PETA people when we need them? The fuzzy, sweetie pie little mascots have put real animals out of work. It used to be that there were more actual live mascots than dopey made-up ones. The Army Mule, the Navy Goat, Bulldogs from Yale and Georgia. Those were the days. Men were men, mascots were mascots. I say if Stanford wants a tree for a mascot, then go out and cut down an elm or a maple or a redwood. Let's get real with mascots. Also, all foolish people who become mascots should know this. The word mascot can be traced back through the French to the Latin masca, which means, guess what? Witch. And I don't know of a single team that has a witch for a mascot. Now that's an opening that should be filled.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.